Yes, I did. I'm ready to go. Is Luke ready to go? Is Luke
started.
Ready to share his contributions?
It started.
His thoughts? Well, welcome to episode 129 of the Talking Hockey Podcast.
Thank you.
We're back for another hour and a bit, maybe more, maybe less.
Hopefully less.
Of fun. Hopefully for all of you, yeah, less.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
Eric has a lot of topics because he's the only one who comes prepared to this now. Because Luke, if you ask Luke, he would say, what's going on in the NHL?
It's true. I've watched maybe like 5 Leafs games all year. I watched 1 Leafs game and I was baked.
Yes, he was with me on a Tuesday. No, a Monday night, I think it was.
Yeah. Bro, I've never been more ripped in my life.
That guy was sitting there zooted.
Everyone over 18 plus, over 18. I recommend it. You know?
Is that going to get us banned?
No.
I don't know.
If it's legal in your state or province,
yeah,
you know, don't do anything illegal.
Man, I thought the first intermission was like 50 minutes.
This guy's like, how long is this fucking intermission? Like 18 minutes? He's like, I feel like I've been sitting here for 2 hours.
That is the problem.
Yeah. And then problematic. And then the last two periods felt like they were 5 minutes, bro. Like it made up for it. And then
Which
it was overtime
was
and the Islanders. We
Islanders
lost it
when Schalgren gave the puck away.
Oh,
we watched it like very close to, we're all like, what the fuck?
Yeah. That was a great experience. Anyways, topics include Tage Thompson and Erik Karlsson. Interesting comparison. I think one's a defenseman and one's a forward. But
not comparison, just like
we're trading them
this year.
That's a trade recommendation. That's what you meant by that.
Yeah.
Marner point streak, quarter season trophy picks. I feel like that always takes us way too long because Eric will go into advanced discussions about why, who deserves what. Seattle fourth in the league in points percentage, Rangers playoffs, Panthers shooting slump, or Maurice, Jason Robertson and hints, McDavid has 11 5v5 points, Mikheyev, Pettersson, Kuzmenko line leads the league in 5v5. Man, there's like 10 topics here. Okay, let's just pick some.
I said everyone, nobody responded, but I said remove whatever ones you guys don't want to talk about, and then
okay.
Nobody said anything.
I'm making the executive decision here because it's based on relevant news. Talk about Jason Robertson and Rupe Hintz and their success so far, because Hintz just signed an 8-year extension for, was it 8.75 a year?
8.45.
Okay. Well, at the end of the day, big extension news there. They've both been great. And if you bought into Rupe Hintz stock in, 2019... you would be a rich man today.
Did you buy into his stock in 2019, Ty?
No.
How would that work?
It's someone opening the fridge at Martin's place.
Yes, it is. How would that work, buying people's stock?
Let's talk about this as a business idea.
And I know.
Investing
it'd be
in players.
Kind of cool, eh?
Hey.
There are fantasy leagues that do that specifically.
I would short tie every single time.
There's something called like the Dauber, something to do with like Dauber, which is like this big fantasy hockey website. They basically have like a league where you just invest in players, and then if their value goes up, you can sell them and get new players. So it's basically just like investing in players. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I've never played it, but I've read about it and stuff.
But before. In real life. I mean, I guess that's like sports betting, right? You know, you bet a futures,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I don't think real money's involved. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I think it's just for fun, but yeah.
The closest you could get is probably like sports betting. But if you bought Jason Robertson Hart Trophy, you know, winner.
Yeah, but that's really difficult. But like buying that Rupe Hintz back in 2019 would
I was just sick now. Because he looked good.
It's cool.
Right? He looked good. Starting in the league, he looked really good.
So that's
he looked
really
good,
what
not point per game good.
No. Yeah, they've looked real good. It's insane. Wow. It's insane.
I think there's a lot of player, like, we have so many more point per game players than we used to.
Remember in like 2014, yeah. I think Jamie Benn led the league with like 78 points or something like that.
Yep, exactly. And now, like, you know,
or 2015, something like that.
He wouldn't even be in the top like 10.
Scoring's up for sure.
Like, the star players scoring's up huge. And then the bottom of the lineup players also scoring is up a fair bit too, it seems like. I think the middling players are kind of where the scoring hasn't improved. So the star players are better than ever. Bottom of the lineup players are better than ever. And then the middle players are kind of just where they are or lower.
I think that defenseman scoring is down except for like Jason or Erik Karlsson, sorry. Like in regards to like the goal scoring. Because I think like there was a year where Mike Green scored like 30 goals back in like 2012.
Jack Hughes has 22 assists without a goal right now.
Jack Hughes or Quinn Hughes?
Quinn Hughes, not Jack Hughes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think he
has the record. The NHL or SportsCenter or something stats posted it. Hughes has the most assists by a defenseman without a goal in league history.
So, you know, defensemen aren't scoring as many goals because there's no more shots from the point anymore, you know? It's all getting it down to the cycle or to the slot or, you know, the Royal Road passes, you know? No one's just shooting it into shin.
Yeah, we don't have as many defensemen going for like 300 shot totals and stuff, yeah. I feel. You know, we had Dougie Hamilton, Brent Burns, Erik Karlsson just ripping the puck.
Oh, good shit.
250 plus times.
All right, let's make the move. Tage Thompson, Erik Karlsson. I think that's a really good trade.
I just wanted to talk about because Tage Thompson scored a sick goal last night, and I don't know if anyone saw it.
Yeah, we talked. I mean, I think we talked about it. Like, that contract was like a what the hell, because I think 2 years ago or 3 years ago when Tage Thompson was like playing on the Sabres right after they traded him for O'Reilly, right? The big trade was O'Reilly for Tage Thompson. Was like the main pieces of it. Mm-hmm. And then Tage Thompson was like on stats, the worst player in the league.
Yep.
Yeah.
Generated nothing. And then out of nowhere last year, scored what, 35 goals?
Yep. And now he's on pace for like 50, I'm pretty sure, right now. As of right now, anyway.
And he signed to a 7-year extension at like $7 million. And we're all like, that could be problematic. But he's been successful so far. I think it's just a situation where the guy's like 6'6", takes a little bit to,
and suddenly he has hands. Yeah. Like if you saw the goal last night, and his hands all of a sudden, like
you wonder how many random. Crazy.
He has 101 shots already this year.
Yeah, and what 22 games, 21 games,
22 games. Yep. That's insanity.
He generates a lot, and
he's 5 shots a game,
and he's pretty like he's like a power forward,
Ovechkin
rip
level.
It, good hands.
That's Ovechkin level shooting.
How many random drug tests do you think he's gotten in the past year?
Must have. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, I don't think it's so crazy how, like, I think this is the most bizarre breakout I've ever seen. Like, more than, like, any other breakout I've ever seen.
Because no one thought it was coming, right? If you have your breakout players over the past few years, like, I don't know, Victor Arvidsson in, like, 2015, everyone thought would break out. I don't know who else. Fiala.
There's never been a player that's broken out like this, so randomly.
Because they're usually players who have good results, just don't finish, right?
Yeah. Or like highly tuted prospects or guys that weren't highly tuted but get better year after year after year sort of thing. And then even if they do have like a breakout, it's like they showed somewhat of a good underlying performance. Tage Thompson's just like, okay, I'm the arguably one of the worst forwards in the NHL right now. And then suddenly I'm a 35 goal scorer. And then the next year I'm a 50 goal scorer. And it wasn't like he was like a 20 year old or something like that. And, you know, just not performing well. Like, it was insane. Like, he wasn't very good in before the NHL either, to be honest. Like, he wasn't killing it. So it's just insane. And then Carlson's continuing his streak right now. He's on pace for 100 and I want to say 5 points or something like that.
Martin must be enjoying watching that.
Yeah.
His favorite player.
He's on pace for 105 points, and that would be obviously a career high from his career high is 82 and 82, I'm pretty sure. Or 81 and 81, whatever that season was. And so, like, yeah, I don't know. I just didn't find it interesting. Like, Erik Karlsson's turning back the years, like 4 years. Tage Thompson just, like, broke out of nowhere. There's some, like, really weird storylines this year. Jamie Benn is 15th in league scoring right now.
Okay, so both Jamie Benn has a 19.2% shooting percentage.
Oh, yeah, that's going to regress for sure.
Like, that's insane.
He's also 18th now, so.
Erik Karlsson has a 14.7.
14.7.
Yeah. That's insane. His career average is 6.7.
I spent like 5-10 minutes today watching some Erik Karlsson highlights from this season. And besides the, you know, insane shooting percentage binge that he's on, that's obviously going to regress. He has looked like just ignoring the points. Like, he's more confident. He's playing with the puck more. He's dangling players.
Yeah, he has looked better. Definitely.
Yeah, he's like, the confidence is there that I don't think was there before. But Jamie Benn, I can't explain. Jamie Benn has 26 points in 23 games. And even if you remove like 4 or 5 goals, you know, reduce his pursuing percentage in half, he'd still be at 20 points or 21 points in 23 games. So Jamie Benn's also kind of killing it right now, I guess, which I just found really crazy because I didn't even expect that. Like, I haven't watched
a lot of randomness.
Yeah, there's a lot of real and it's the beginning of the season, so we'd expect some of that stuff. But there's some weird stuff going on right now in the NHL.
Matthews has looked bad.
He looked good yesterday.
Can't seem to get an even strength point, but still is like 19th in league scoring, right ahead of Jamie Benn. Or actually below Jamie Benn technically because he's played more games. But
who are you talking about? Sorry?
Austin Matthews has the same amount of points as Jamie Benn right now, just in one more game.
I mean, he looked better yesterday, but it's going to probably change. He'll be back to the...
Well, I mean, Marner's been absolutely killing it, which I feel like, Ty, you must hate right now.
Yeah, I do. I fuck.
I mean, he's on a 17 game point streak.
It's fun watching him
right
now, though.
And the record,
it's really fun.
In the last like 4 years, was 20 with like Patrick Kane in like 2018, 2019. So Marner needs 3 more games to match that. Like he's killing.
He needs one more to match the Leafs record.
Really? That's insane.
I think the Leafs record is 18.
Yeah, one more.
Also, I think Robertson's also at 17, isn't he? Robertson's also on a huge point streak right now.
Robertson's been insane. I mean, Robertson is 36 points in 23 games. He's 3 points behind McDavid, and he's playing 5 minutes less per game.
Can we talk about
and
how
he has
bad...
way more even strength points?
We have to talk way about more. How bad that contract was for his agent to negotiate with the Stars. Like, they had
absolutely
all the leverage and then settled on a garbage contract for him.
Yeah, like I think we said it at the time. That's like a firing agent offense, I feel, for Jason
that
Robertson.
Was bad.
Like, unless he really just wanted to take less to help out the Stars or some bullshit, which I don't think was the case. Like, he should have been making a whole hell of a lot more. Like, that's ridiculous. I mean, yeah, he's second in league scoring. He has way more even strength points than McDavid.
Yeah.
Like, way more. I think McDavid has 11 even strength points right now,
which is insanity.
Yeah, and that's obviously, you know, again, beginning of the season, regression in the mean, all this stuff. You know, he's gonna have more than that pace, but like all of his points are coming outside 5v5 situations, whereas Jason Robertson's just dominating everywhere. Like Connor McDavid's even strength points per 60. Is like 30% lower than Jason Robertson right now. And McDavid only has 3 more points than Jason Robertson, but he's playing 5 more minutes per game. And two of those minutes are on the power play too. So
insane.
It's like Jason Robertson's insane. Very
and
good.
He's plus 13. McDavid's only plus 2. And we all know that's plus minus is a true
very
stat.
Important. Yeah. So, I mean, he's definitely should be in the conversation for the heart right now, if not leading the conversation for the heart right now, alongside maybe like Eichel, And even like guys like Nico Hischier right now could be in that conversation too.
I think moment, that like, think. Did anyone expect this from the Stars? Someone go back and listen to the episode of our early season predictions or where we thought teams were going to, did we think the Stars were going to make the playoffs?
I think we said the Stars were going to make the playoffs, but I don't think we said they're going to lead.
Maybe we said they're a fringe team.
Division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone saw that. Cause I mean, for like, yeah, we knew Jason Robertson would be good, but I mean, it was like, could he repeat what he did kind of last year? But then the resurgence of Jamie Benn and Jake Oettinger's like shut the door as well from his playoffs last year, where he nearly like single-handedly eliminated the Flames.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Stars are, I think they're the Stars top aligned. Team in the West. Or no, they're right behind the Golden Knights, I'm pretty sure. And actually right behind them is the Jets. That was another thing I wanted to talk about, but.
We should talk about, since we're on points, we should talk about McDavid and his 11 5v5 points.
We already mentioned that. Where have you been, Luke?
We didn't talk about it much. We just talked about it short. No, yeah. We touched on it.
We did touch on it.
We didn't go into that.
Part of the issue is like, you wanted to. McDavid, you know, Evander Kane's gone, for example. So, you know, like you're losing some even strength points there because. Suddenly,
isn't he on Draisaitl's line?
Yeah. I mean, Draisaitl also doesn't have a shit ton of even strength points.
Yeah, but I mean, all I'm saying is there should be no excuse for these two guys not to – if they're the two best superstars and they can't win 5v5, I don't know.
For sure. I mean, McDavid –
I saw tweets being like, he gets hooked on every play. That's why they're always on the power play, and then he scored – like, he gets points there. But
I mean,
I don't know.
He's on the power play a lot, but he's not on the power play more than other top players. Like – you know, McDavid's on the power play for 4 minutes on average a game. Nikita Kucherov's on average almost 5 minutes per game. Pasternak's 4.5 minutes per game. Mika Rantanen's 4.5. I
think those guys are different, though. Like, Kucherov's just there standing there waiting for a one-timer. Or same with who was
Pasternak
the second
one? Too.
Yeah. Pasternak, yeah, waiting for a one-timer. And
I mean, even Mitch Marner and Nathan MacKinnon. Mitch Marner, 3.5 minutes. MacKinnon, actually exactly the same amount of time as McDavid on the power
It's also
play.
Dependent on the – I mean, that also shows that the Oilers draw a lot of penalties. Like, I think we talked – I mean, I joked about it a lot, is that McDavid dives a lot. And there's, like – he does draw a lot of penalties. And you can say he gets hooked on every play, but he does his best to sell some of the calls. He gets touched, he's falling over.
Yeah.
And the refs call half of it. You know, but any other player is probably not a penalty.
NHL.com says he has 20 even strength points. Does that count like 3-on-3 overtime?
It probably counts 3-on-3. Maybe it will count like empty netters even.
It counts 3-on-3. I don't know about empty netters, but it counts 3-on-3.
And 4-on-4 probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't think McDavid's the best player in the world. You know, I think he's probably like 10th best, if anything.
I mean, he's 59th in even strength scoring right now.
I think the entire Sens roster is better than McDavid.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Are the Oilers, they're in a playoff spot right now, right?
Because that just shows you how bad the rest of the division is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Campbell's been atrocious.
Vancouver's a point out or something from a playoff spot. Like, that division's real bad. Seattle's in second in that division.
Well, Seattle's
the
been good.
Canucks aren't a point out. They're still 3 points out. That's still a decent amount, but the Flames have also been terrible up until this point too. Like the Flames have not been clicking. They look slow.
They're point out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying they're not going to make the playoffs. I'm saying we all said top of the West.
I'm saying you're wrong about the Canucks. They're point out. They're 1 point behind St. Louis.
Yeah, wow.
I'm looking at the division. Card. Sorry, I'm looking at the division. Yeah, you're right. My bad.
Man, yeah, like the I mean, I guess it's almost the same in the East, but in the West, like the Wild have a losing record, 10-9-2.
Yeah. I mean the my President's Trophy pick for the Wild wasn't great. I didn't actually say they were, I just said dark horse, but I expected them.
I thought they'd be better
than
for sure.
What's goalie expert Nick saying about Marc-Andre Fleury?
Yeah,
he's still saying he's the best goalie.
He hasn't been great. And the other thing is that the Kraken are also third in the West right now. Did any of us predict Seattle for the playoffs?
I think you said they had good forward depth.
They have the best wing depth. Yeah, in the NHL. But I don't think any of us
did not. They're
doing it all without the fourth overall draft pick. Where did Shane Wright?
Shane Wright went fourth.
Yeah, they're doing it all without the fourth overall draft pick,
who's in the AHL dominating right now. Actually, he's what, point per game? Has like 4 goals in 5 games or something.
Yeah, that was that was just his conditioning stint.
Yeah, for 2 weeks, they put him there for 2 weeks and he killed it. So now I don't know what they're gonna do because they can't send him to the AHL again once his conditioning stint's over. I think he still has another couple days on it.
Otherwise, he has to go back to the OHL.
Yeah, they have to send him for the rest of the year. Go to the OHL. Yeah.
I don't understand that. Why can't he go to the AHL?
There's an
agreement. There's an agreement with the CHL that if a player's below the age of 20, they can't be sent to the AHL. But if he played like NCAA, they could. Or if he played in Europe, they could. For example,
it's just a hack for the OHL to keep their talent longer.
The CHL.
They'll at least send him to.
They'll send him to the World Juniors, no matter what. Yeah, I think that he'll probably be healthy scratch for the rest of this, and then he'll go to the World Junior whenever that World Junior camp opens.
Then he'll make a decision from there. Would be my guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard for Shane Wright to make the lineup when they're clicking. Their last 10 games, they're 8-1-1.
But would anyone be surprised if they just fell off a cliff?
No, I don't think so. No. But I mean, they're doing well. Like they're scoring goals. They're playing. They have like the best defense in the Pacific right now in terms of like allowing goals. And it's not just their goaltending that's killing it. It's like, I think they're wingers. Like they brought in like Bjorkstrand, you know, like one of the best defensive wingers in the NHL. Like, of course, their defensive results have also improved. So I think it's like partly that along with,
has Grubauer been better?
Grubauer must have been better
for them. Grubauer, honestly, I can't even say. I don't know.
Let me look. But what does Grubauer have?
Look right here. Grubauer is actually Martin Jones.
Oh, it's Jones.
Oh, what the hell? Jones. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Grubauer has been worse than last year. 870 save for. Has he been injured? Yeah.
No, Martin Jones has been good, but he hasn't been amazing. He's only saved 5 goals above expected. So, like, that's really good, but it's not like carrying the Kraken through the season. Like that's over 17 games, right?
You think it's their coach? Hackstall?
No. I think they just built a good team, man. Like I think they're playing well. They're meshing together. Their top lines are actually like really good. Like they have Bjorkstrand, Schwartz. They have a line with Bjorkstrand, Schwartz and Wennberg. Like Bjorkstrand and Schwartz are both known to be like elite defensive wingers, right? And those guys are allowing 1.2 goals against per 60 minutes right now, which is like insane. That's a really good fucking number. Expected goals against, I should say, not goals against. And then they have like McCann, Beniers, and Eberle. So all three like pretty good attacking players, and they're scoring.
Yeah, Matty Beniers has been good so far. Yeah,
and they're scoring 2.6 goals per. They're expected to score 2.6 goals per 60 minutes, which is also really good at even strength. Like they're just.
I'm no. I'm looking at their schedule, and they've played no top teams.
That's false. But
They played Vegas. And they've played Colorado and Carolina. They really haven't actually played good teams.
They've played
middle to bottom tier teams.
Ducks, Blackhawks, Sabres, Canucks.
They played Pittsburgh twice, Minnesota twice, Calgary.
Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Carolina. Those are all
Carolina's a top team, but like
Pittsburgh's like. I mean, Carolina's like middle of the pack right now too.
I mean, Pittsburgh's a good team. I don't know, like they're not bad.
Pittsburgh won 6 in a row before the Leafs.
Pittsburgh is 7-2-1 right now. They're in the playoff spot. Like they're
either way, the best team that they faced is like Colorado, or sorry, Vegas twice, and then beyond that, it's like meh.
I guess. I mean,
but again, they are in a weak division, so I mean,
yeah,
can't really blame them for it.
Yeah, take advantage. They're gonna, they get to take it. You know, they're in a weak division. They get to take advantage of playing weaker teams. You know, they get to stomp on fucking the Ducks and the Sharks and the Canucks and everything like that.
Yeah, like you still have to win those games, right? They're doing what Florida did last year. They won all the games they should have.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, next on the topic, you want to do Rangers or Panthers first?
Well, I just talked about Florida, so.
Okay, you mentioned, I mean,
speaking
Florida.
Speaking of Florida, they're just outside the playoffs right now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And
who saw that coming?
Yeah, but I don't think it's because they're bad. I think it's, and this is why I put the comment, and I think it's just because they're in a shooting slump right now. Like
Bobrovsky's been back to his usual self. I say usual self over the past like 4 years, except for last year. That right? Too. Yeah. Like
Spencer Knight's been okay.
Yeah, but they're still paying Bobrovsky $10 million for
an 80 save percentage. Yeah. I mean, he's let in 5 goals more than expected so far in 11 starts. But I mean, they're clearly using Spencer Knight as, I mean, they're clearly using Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight as like
a tandem.
You know, yeah, tandem, 1A, 1B sort of thing. I think Spencer Knight might be the guy that they're going to lean towards since he's been way better. But I don't think Florida's issues have been goaltending, you know, partly. That's not great. But they're just, their guys aren't scoring, man. Like,
Barkov has not been great. Like, I get that he's almost point per game, but like, he hasn't been elite. Yeah,
he hasn't been elite, and I think they're just in a shooting slump right now. Like, if you just look at their numbers, like,
I think they're
last
frauds.
Year they basically matched up with what they were expected to score and what they did score, and now they're way below it. And they didn't lose a bunch of shooting talent. Like, losing Huberto, yeah, that sucked, but they didn't lose like a whole
talking
bunch.
Talking about
of
shooting percentage, scores. Barkov's shooting percentage right now is 6.8. His career average is 13.9.
There you go. That's a perfect example.
I think that last year, when we talk about the Panthers and their success of last year, like every single thing clicked for them. Every single thing went right for them. Everything. I don't think you could say that there was a single thing that didn't work for them except for kind of the playoffs, right? Because, you know, they made some stupid trades for Ben Chiarot was their big trade deadline acquisition. Along with Claude Giroux, but I mean, it was just, you know, they spent a lot on Ben Chiarot as an example, right? To improve their D that didn't really need to be improved. And, you know, they had Duclair, Sam Bennett, Sam Reinhart, right? Carter Verhaeghe, Barkov, Huberto all have like career years, Ekblad and Weegar in the back, and Bobrovsky being a little bit better than he was previously. Mm-hmm. And this year, some things have clicked,
so
some haven't.
I'll just say this. Florida, the Panthers, their expected goals percentage at all situations right now is 55%, which is fourth in the league.
So, okay? Ty, again, Sam Reinhart's shooting percentage this year, his career average is 14, which is insane.
Yeah. But
he has he's a good shooter, apparently. He's down at 9.2 right now.
Yeah.
So
there's so much regression.
That's two of your best point per game players, Barkov more than point per game, not playing, getting unlucky.
Yeah. They have been. If you look at their numbers, okay, so this is all situations. The top three teams in the league when it comes to expected goals percentage at all situations are the three teams you would expect it to be right now, right? New Jersey went on that huge win streak. Boston, who's been killing it literally since the beginning of the season. And Vegas, who have been doing extremely well. Fourth place is literally the Flames. They're at 55%, but their goals percentage is 50%. So if you take that 5% shift and count PDO for that, basically, you could essentially say if they were hitting their normal numbers, you know, maybe a little bit lower in goaltending, they'd be top 7, top 8 in the league right now. Like, they're the only team that has those cups and numbers, and it's just, like, completely flailing outside of a playoff spot right now.
Even Matthew Tkachuk, who's doing obviously really well, his career average is 13.3, and he's down at 11.2, which is, like, he might finish the year with that, which wouldn't be a terrible year, but still lower than his average, right? Yeah. Like,
there's a lot of positive regression.
For teams to do well, normally they're out shooting their percentage. Like, they're getting more lucky, like Jamie Benn at 19 or Erik Karlsson at 14 when he's a career average 6.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's a ton of positive regression coming from Florida right now. It's just waiting for it to hit. They'll make the playoffs. I'm like fairly certain on that. If anything, like right now is a time to put a bet on the over on whatever's at, sites have their odds at for making the playoffs, because you can probably make a little bit of money off of that, if anything. So,
who is bigger frauds, the Panthers or the Oilers?
I mean, the Oilers are also getting a little unlucky right now too. Like, if you look at their numbers, they have like one of the biggest. They have one of the biggest differences, other than like Florida, when it comes to what they should be getting. I don't know.
The Oilers definitely have a way easier chance of making the playoffs, just based on how shitty the West is in comparison to the East. Like, at this point, Florida is competing for a wild card. So they're competing against Metro teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the Rangers, Penguins are in there. So they have a harder run at the playoffs than...
If you're looking at the most unlucky teams in the NHL right now, in terms... So this stat is basically goals differential above expected. So a team is expected to score or let in 100 goals, but they let in, you know, 10 more than that and scored 5 less than that, right? That's what this stat would theoretically show. Florida is minus 15 in that regard. And that's mostly because their goals for above expected is minus 13. And they've let in a couple more goals than expected, which I said, again, their goaltending just hasn't been too great, especially Bobrovsky, right? The only team lower than Florida right now in terms of goal differentials above expected is Columbus, who has awful goaltending and
awful finishing,
right? So there's tons of positive regression going for Florida. Same thing with Edmonton. They do have some, like, really, you know, they have McDavid, Draisaitl, Vander Kane, Nuge, et cetera, right? Who can score. And Edmonton stole still a couple goals below expected right now in terms of goals scored. So
the Oilers have been more than probably they've expected than
the bottom 5 in terms of luck. But it's not, you know, the stat obviously isn't fully luck, because bad teams are obviously not going to shoot as well, not going to have as good goaltending, whatever, but Edmonton's 5th. So there's positive regression coming from them too. But on the higher end, the team that's been most producing above expected has been the Islanders. The Islanders have a goal differential above expected of 20.
I think so that we're used to Florida the is negative not being 15. Able to score. Yeah.
Florida is negative 15 and the Islanders are positive 20. So that's a 35 goal swing difference in luck slash talent. Obviously, goaltending Sorokin has been insane this year so far. He's basically all of that. Out of the 20, he's saved, I think, 15 goals above expected right now. And then their backup is like at 1 or 2. Basically. So Sorokin's been absolutely huge. But the other team that's scored way more than expected, and this is where the regression's going to come in for Jason Robertson, Pavelski, Jamie Benn, Hintz, is Dallas, who've scored way more goals than expected right now. Oh. And that's probably not going to continue for too
Jason
long.
Robertson. You know,
Jamie Benn isn't going to shoot 19% or whatever, right?
Jason Robertson and Hintz will, like, Robertson could easily, and I could see this, like, get 90-plus points this year.
Yeah, but he's on pace for 130 right now.
Yeah,
so obviously there's regression
coming. He's not
going
to do that.
Yeah. So we're saying, like, even when we're saying, you know, Dallas wasn't, you know, there's a reason why we didn't have Dallas at the top, right? It's because their depth isn't good. Like, if you go to their lines, like, if you look at Dallas's lines, I'm pretty sure right now it's just, like, their top line leading the charge, and then the rest of their team kind of just, you know, struggling a little bit. Like, if you look at their top four lines, it's basically just Rupe, Hintz, Jason Robertson, Pavelski, and then, you know, only one other line has a positive goal differential. So it's their top line and then their second line kind of doing okay. And then third and fourth lines being scrubs, which is exactly what we thought it was going to be. Except we probably didn't think their second line would be too good because Jamie Benn's like scoring way more than we expected him to. But yeah.
How's Tyler Seguin been?
He hasn't been good. He hasn't been
surprising then, you know, Jamie Benn's just come out of nowhere. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie Benn isn't even on a line with Seguin. It's Tyler Dellandrea, Jamie Benn, and then Ross Johnson. Is it Ross Johnson?
Oh, Wyatt Johnston.
Wyatt Johnson, thank you. Yeah.
And Jake Ottinger's, I think, is a big safety blanket.
Yeah, I mean, but he's been good, but he hasn't been, like, you know.
I thought he
hasn't been Sorokin good. Sorokin's been way better.
Sorokin is really good.
Sorokin's like by far at the top. Like if you look at the goals saved above expect, actually the get okay wait. I want to see if you guys can get this.
I know who it is.
No, ignore time maybe. Let's say Luke and Martin here. Who's second in the NHL in goals saved above expected for goalies right now? Who would you guess is second?
Erik Sjögren.
No.
That's not even a good guess.
That's terrible.
I know who it is. I think I know who it is. Can you before you say it? Can you tell
me?
Yeah,
everyone else guess, and then Ty guess, and then I'll get the answer. That's actually a good guess, Luke. That's a good guess. Thank you. But it's a good guess.
I have him on fantasy, so he gets me lots of fantasy points.
Logan Thompson.
No.
Is it
not a good guess, Martin?
Is it Karl Vejmelka?
Yeah.
Oh,
Arizona's goalie. Yeah.
True.
So Arizona, I don't even know how to say his fucking name.
Vejmelka
has 13 goals saved above expected. Ilya Sorokin's at 15. So basically both of those guys have every single game saved one more goal above what they were expected to save on average so far, because they're at 14 games respectively played.
Which is, it seems accurate to me because Sorokin was really good when we saw him.
Sorokin's been killing it. So this is you know how we've been saying like all the Russian goalies, just Vasilevsky 1 year, Sorokin or Shesterkin the next year, and now it's Sorokin basically. So it's like 3 years back to back, three different Russian goalies winning the Vezina, which is funny.
Very tangential, but if there was to be an Olympics and NHL players were allowed right now, who would Canada's goalie be?
Yikes. Carter Hart? He's third in the league. He's third in the league right now in goals saved above expected.
Okay, Carter Hart be one.
He'd be in consideration at this point for sure, right? He'd have to be. But like, who else is there?
Marc-Andre Fleury.
Fleury would probably get invited. That's one of the five that gets invited.
Kemper's Canadian, right?
Kemper hasn't been good.
Kemper's saved three goals above expected. So, you know, he's been basically a little bit better than average.
Like would Blackwood get an invite to try out?
No.
Blackwood's been awful.
Matt Murray.
Devils fans hate him.
Matt Murray would get an invite right now.
Yeah, he probably would.
Yeah, I mean, for like, all the speak about the Leafs goal,
it would be a black hole position-wise for Canada. Not that it would matter, probably, because we just outscore every team.
I mean,
it
kind of
like
does matter,
nothing.
Like, the Russia has three guys
but
would all
can
start
score
for
on
Canada
all three.
Right now.
Yeah, of course they would. But sure. McDavid can score five goals per game against all three.
It's always been Canada's struggle in net, right? Like, they have never had... Like last year,
Carey Price.
Let's say I know, but last year, let's say they actually went to the Olympics. Carey Price wasn't going to be there.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
So who
were
their goalies?
Fleury last year.
Yeah, it was probably going to be Fleury. Yeah, that wouldn't have been great.
Nick would have been cheering him. Nick would have bought a Flurry Canada jersey.
I think it would probably be in Flurry Kemper or something.
Like, who did we? You got to go back and listen to those episodes we projected. Like, it had to, like, there were no good Canadian goals. Like, Carter Hart, maybe. Carter Hart wasn't good last year, actually. Never mind.
Carter Hart was not good last year. Yeah.
Who even is there? It would have been Flurry. Yeah. Murray this year, I think, has been Canada's best goalie.
I think Kemper, man. Kemper was the best Canadian goalie last year by far. Yeah.
But also, that was,
like, it wasn't
that
even
was
a close.
That was before he won the cup.
A result of Colorado.
Yeah. But again, if you put him on a good offensive team.
Kemper was the only Canadian goalie in the top 10 in terms of goals saved above expected last year.
Yeah, he was good last year.
Everyone else was like Russian, American, Swedish. Yeah, actually, those were the three nations. Basically, every other goalie was from one of those three.
Saros is Finnish, isn't he?
Saros? Finnish. Sorry, my bad. Yeah. You're right, Martin. Tristan Jarry is American.
Canadian.
Tristan Jarry's Canadian.
Okay, he led the Canadian goalies last year, other than Kemper in goal saved above expected.
So Jarry, there we go. Tristan
that's your starting goaltenders.
Tristan Jarry like fucked up the Penguins like back to back playoffs.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. So he's probably the worst person to actually put in that. I'd honestly feel better with Marc-Andre Fleury in there, to be honest.
But, man, they'd probably invite Matt Murray, considering he has two cups, so they think guys would think he has.
He was still positive in goal save above expected last year.
I know, so. Matt Murray was. Yeah, Martin won't admit it. Martin he's like, he's gonna get injured.
He was dog shit by the
any goalie year. Can get scored on multiple times behind Zaitsev. And with DJ Smith, defenseman connoisseur issue. With the worst
you have
defense
DJ
in the
Smith
world.
And Nikita Zaitsev all in one team. It's not a good thing. So yeah, I just found that like super fascinating that Arizona's goalie is third. He's single-handedly keeping them from like completely tanking. Because right now, I think the team with the best odds to win Bedard is the Blackhawks. How ass would that be if the Blackhawks go from Kane and Taves and straight into Bedard? I'd kill myself. Like, fuck that.
I hope so. not you kill yourself. I mean, I hope the Blackhawks get them.
No, noted mental health advocate Luke West just told me to kill myself. I'm pretty sure.
No. I said I hope Chicago
sure
gets.
I'm taking it like that.
No, well, I'm taking that's it like that. Well, Blackhawks you can take it however you want, but we don't joke about mental health here in respect to management. You know, that's a no show.
The NHL would like the Blackhawks to be good relatively quick. It's better.
Yeah,
for them.
It would be good for them. Yeah.
One of the last things on your list here is the Mikheyev, Pettersson, Kuzmenko line.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. They'd be good.
They've been.
They've got the highest
line
goals
in the NHL.
5v5 per 60.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now. Like, they're insane. And Pettersson, like, oh, man. I want to bring up his stats in just the last, like, couple games. He's been freaking insane on the streak that he's been on. Recently, like, he's just fucking tearing up the league. Like, he's easily looked like a top five center right now. Like, he's just been insane.
Is Boudreaux off the hot seat?
No. I think there's no recovering from that unless, I don't know. Everyone said it's like if not when not if. Sorry.
No, he might not be, man. If Pettersson just keeps his play up, like over the past six games. He has 6 goals and 9 points, and he's now first in the league in 5v5 goals. He's 10th in league scoring. He's on pace for 45 goals and 100 points. Like, he's been insane this year.
Hey, you know what's stupid? Boudreaux will get credit for the Kuzmenko thing, too, because he benched him. And it's like, bro. That did nothing. You're playing him the amount of minutes he needs to play, and that's why he's getting a fuck ton of points.
Exactly.
I think he was a package deal with Mikheyev. Because no one saw him going to Vancouver, I think.
Kuzmenko?
Yeah.
Did him and McKay have some type of relationship?
Yeah, they have the same. They have the same agent, that Milstein guy.
That might be
Russian guys.
Like every
Russian. I feel like there is a lot of that behind the scenes stuff that goes on. Like, you know what?
Definitely is.
Yeah, you're paying Mikheyev a little bit more, but you get Kuzmenko on a, you know, on his entry level deal or whatever, 900,000.
Yeah, he's looked good now, but you know, he was benched. How's Hoglander doing?
Not great, I'm pretty sure still.
I think that ship has sailed, unfortunately. That was
Player. Vancouver's at least getting what they need to get from Pettersson, which is like 100 point potential, 40 goals Pettersson, basically.
Has Demko
like that's
been
exactly
better?
What they needed.
It's probably like Demko's been better the past 2 weeks, and that's why the Canucks are winning.
Honestly, I think who's backing up Demko
Spencer
right now?
Spencer Martin.
Yeah, I think Spencer Martin's been starting more games than Demko has, at least recently, from what I've seen. Like, I think Martin has, like, out of the last, like, 7 starts, I think he has 4 of them. So he's actually playing more than Demko is right now. Funnily. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's the third time in the last 4 games that Vancouver has Martin starting ahead of Demko. So out of the last 4 games, Martin started starting three of them. This includes tonight's game. So they're clearly, they haven't moved on from Demko, so to speak, but they're definitely, you know, throwing someone else in there to hopefully get the job done, so to speak.
But it's not like he's doing well. Like Spencer Martin's not doing
I mean, if
well.
You look at the stats, he's been neutral. Like yeah. He's not allowing more goals than expected or saving goals above expected, but it's way better than Demko, who's allowed 9 more goals than he should have. Yes. So far, actually 10. 10 goals more than 14 games. Like that's third worst in the league right now, only ahead of Merzlikins and Kaapo Kähkönen in San Jose. And those two goalies are just on really bad teams in addition to them not being so good themselves.
Okay, So can we do really fast or way too early?
Mark, yeah?
Yeah, Hart. President's Richard Trophy.
Those and Norris. Three. Let's do Norris.
And Norris.
Too.
Okay, those 4. Yeah.
Okay. I think Hart is for me, I said it before, Jason Robertson.
I don't know. Okay, so you're going Hart to Jason Robertson. Are you saying it up until this point, or are we doing at the end of the season prediction? Because up until
right
this
now,
point, like
based, right now, who is your favorite based on the start of the season?
Yeah. Like, who's your favorite to win it at the end?
Jason Robertson.
A little convoluted, but yeah.
Okay, this is kind of a dark horse a bit, but Kucherov's 3rd in league scoring right now.
I think
he has a higher points per game than Jason Robertson.
And you know how the voting works for these. Like, they're going to look at Tampa. Almost 3-time cup winners. I don't think Kucherov even gets a sniff of a Hart. I don't think he got a sniff of the Hart.
We said the same thing about Matthews. I mean, not that they won, but they had a good team.
In that year that Kucherov went crazy, did he win the Hart?
I don't think so.
I think there was the whole debate. That was when the whole debate happened about, like, should a player who's on, like, a top team.
Yeah, I remember, but I don't remember who won it.
Was that the Taylor Hall year?
All right, we said rapid fire.
No.
No, that was not the Taylor Hall year.
No, that wasn't the Taylor Hall year for sure. That was between him and McKinnon that year.
Oh, he
did
win it
in 2019. I know we said rapid fire, Luke, but we got to talk about this.
Yeah,
who?
He did win. He did win.
2019.
He won it. Okay, so he did win it. There you go.
Yeah. Which makes sense because he literally made history or something. Or like recent history.
All right. My pick's Jason Robertson's. Ty's Jason Robertson. Eric, yours is Kucherov.
Yeah, I'm going a little dark horse pick with Kucherov because why not?
Martin.
Kucherov's feeling it, baby.
If Boston remains the way they are, David Pastrnak.
Ooh. Okay. President's Trophy, you said?
That's the team.
Well, that's what Martin said.
Yeah, that was one of the 4.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be Boston.
It has to be Boston at this point. Like, I don't think there's any catching them.
New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey's ahead of them. Sorry, yeah, my bad.
New Jersey's ahead of them only because they've played more games than them.
Yeah.
New Jersey has some aggression coming.
Vegas or Boston for me?
I don't know. It's hard to go against Boston right now, man. They're just like clicking on all cylinders.
Damn, they almost have too many times goals than they do goals against.
That's insane.
They almost have twice as many goals for as against.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about that last week. Their goal differential is insane.
Yeah. 38 goals. Well,
man, I would have thought without Bruce Cassidy that they'd take a fall, but they haven't.
No, they've been even better. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to go against the Bruins. Like, the story this year was the band coming back together and going one more run. So I feel like it's like the perfect story for them to win the President's Trophy. And then bow out of the first round, hopefully.
Play the Leafs in the first round, and then that's it.
No, they'll play some easy Metro team.
Oh, yeah, true. they'll play like the Penguins, I think, or something. Yeah. If the Rangers can even make it.
Second round exit.
I think the Bruins.
I think the Bruins.
Okay, so we all picked the Bruins. And then what else did you say? Art Ross?
No, Richard.
Art Ross is going to be. Richard. I mean, Art Ross is going to be McDavid. I don't think anyone can disagree with that.
Maurice Richard Trophy next. Go tie.
That's tough.
Oh, it's tough, man.
That's the toughie.
Who are the goal leaders right now?
It's obviously going to be Bo Horvat, who's second in the league in goals scored right now.
Jason Robertson.
He's tied with McDavid.
Yeah. So, Bo Horvat for goal scoring lead. Yeah.
I think should I go off the board?
Yeah, go do an off the board pick.
I think Tage Thompson.
I think
Jason Robertson could. I think Tage Thompson could too.
Okay, go Eric.
I'm still gonna go Matthews, I think. Wow. Realistically, I think he's gonna come back. It's so early in the year. Jason Robertson's gonna cool off.
People were talking about it. Like Matthews, if you look at it last year, during that time where he like literally scored 50 goals in 50 games, like that's where he got all his goals.
Exactly. His start was exactly the same as this. Yeah. He just relied less on the power play.
Because it's almost he's at a point right now where it's impossible to score 50 and 50 because we've already done 20. He's already been in 24 games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
that's what they said.
Yeah, and then he was on a cold streak, I think, going into the playoffs a little bit.
Is he injured? That's the thing. He stopped scoring. He was like 9 for 20 last year.
I think Matthews could win. I think if anyone like in the top 20 is going to win, it's going to be Matthews, or he just won't catch Robertson.
I think there's a good chance McDavid could too.
That's my guess. It's McDavid. Yeah. McDavid's going for it.
McDavid's going to win like it at one point in his career, for sure. I think this year is the year. If he's ever going to win it, it's other guy slumps, who's usually going to win it slumping, right? Like that's like the same reason why Crosby won the year he won, right? Ovechkin, I don't know if he slumped that year, but he definitely wasn't as good as he usually was. So I feel like this is his one chance to kind of win it before Matthews goes back to the...
Ooh, tonight's the Kachuk reunion in Calgary.
Ooh. I wonder if he gets booed a lot, or if like he gets a because he got he traded, said he wanted out too. But he didn't want to be there, so it'll be interesting. All right, was there one more word? Did we do it? Norris.
I think Carlson or Makar. I want to see Carlson. Everyone wants to see Carlson win it just for the vibes.
Just for the vibes.
Carlson winning it for the vibes would be great. Yeah.
But it's so meaningless with Carlson. Like, San Jose sucks. Right? Like,
I think he gets a lot of consideration just because.
I don't think he will because he's not going to be in the playoffs. Players that don't get them in the playoffs rarely get consideration.
Yeah.
So, Makar probably.
Adam Fox is killing it right now. Adam Fox has 25 points in 23 games.
Dahlin's having a good season.
I wanted to do more rubbing it in Ty's face about Dahlin right now.
Okay, but you said the same thing about it's meaningless because Buffalo's not making the playoffs.
Yeah, but Dahlin's still doing sick and you were writing him off and me and Martin have been defending him this entire time. So fuck you, Ty.
The heart, this is a tough one. Norris is definitely tough. It'll be
Norris
a battle.
Is too close right now. I feel like there's clear like people that are ahead right now for like the heart and everything, but not for the Norris. Like Carlson's obviously like at the top, but there's so much regression coming.
But it's like meaningless too, though. Like we were just saying,
it's meaningless results. Dahlin isn't going to make the playoffs. Adam Fox and the Rangers might not even make the playoffs at this rate. Yeah. But he's probably been the best defenseman outside of those two. McCarr's been great, but he hasn't been like that much better than everyone else. Also,
but what is
I didn't realize
you?
This, but Sergachev's top five in scoring right now. And but I kind of criticized his contract before. So
McCarr just went off. No, it wouldn't, not at all.
And Dougie Hamilton, like I think Dougie Hamilton has to get some consideration if New Jersey is like second, third in the East, or something like that. Like Dougie Hamilton's 100% going to get votes. He's not leading the team in scoring or anything like that, or doing anything like crazy point wise. But
I guess Petrangelo would get votes if Vegas keeps it up.
Yeah, Petrangelo.
Heiskanen will probably get votes because Dallas doing so well.
Yeah, it'll be a tough one. It's a wide open kit, but everyone make their prediction.
I said Carlson.
Prediction. Carlson.
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 Dahlin.
I'm gonna go Adam Fox. I think. Yeah, I'm going Adam Fox. All right. Awesome.
Well, thanks for listening again, everyone. That's another week in the books.
Yeah, an episode.
That's an episode.
That's an episode.
Not phoned in.
Okay. All right. Well,
thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.